Session number 21276, Reel 4.
Jeff Easton, Reel 4. So, back in Brussels, after the Ardennes.
Yes. Yes, then we went into Holland. Where there was no sort of real war at all. We kept running into groups of Germans who were sort of on their way home, I think, for the most part. Oh. A lot of them surrendered anyway, without being approached. Or
really?
Mm.
What was their attitude?
Resignation. They'd just given up. They knew that it was all up. And there we got on all right. I mean, we cigarettes all round, you know.
What did you think of the Germans as soldiers?
They were probably better than us, yeah. Mm. They were more committed.
Really?
I think so, yes. Although we did our best, we, as I said to you before, I never felt like a blooming soldier anyway. I was a civil servant for 35 years. I never felt like a civil servant either.
Yeah.
I used to throw the rule book in the ash can.
Yeah.
A bit. I always trusted my judgment rather than somebody else's. Didn't get me anywhere, but
yeah. I know what you mean. Yes. Yeah.
But,
so in Holland,
I'm sure there's. I'm forgetting things. I'm sure. Oh, oh yeah. Oh yes. Yeah, there was this on a jaunt out in Belgium. One of the things I used to hate was going down dusty roads with no track marks in them. You're always very suspicious about mines where nobody had been before, and I was all very, very wary about that. Didn't care much for it. Anyway, we'd been going through the countryside for some time, a village up front, and there was obviously some sort of commotion going on. No sign of any real trouble. So I went in, and there was about 15 or 20 civvies had got a German in the middle of them, and they were beating about the head and shoulders and so on. And for some strange reason, I didn't like this either. You know, it didn't seem quite fair, because he was unarmed anyway, and they were just taking it out of him. So I got all of his collar and pulled him up on top of the car, and he'd got his Batman with him as well. So I got him to sit on the back, and I told the civvies that I'd take him and see to him, you know. And off we went back, and I went to brigade headquarters with this bloke, who turned out to be a vet. He wasn't really a soldier at all, any more than me. But he turned out to be a vet. And he suddenly had an idea. Would I, he said, go back and fetch his valise, which he'd left behind? I said, certainly, if you'll come with me. But he didn't think much of the idea, and it was dropped.
Yes, he probably knows now just how lucky he was to get picked up by you.
Yeah.
So when you say you're talking back to brigade headquarters, what was it like going to brigade headquarters?
Brigade headquarters were invariably in some large house, comfortable accommodation. Yeah.
So did you like going there? You
know, well, I mean, he didn't have a lot of option. I thought the choices open to him weren't very great. And
what did you think about the way that officers' conditions were so much better than the men's?
Yes, I took exception to that. Rightly or wrongly, I was told that the officers had a what was called a hard lying allowance of 11 shillings a day on top of their pay, because they'd no accommodation provided, you see. Hard lying. My pay, top pay at any time during that time, was 6 and 6 pence a day, the whole lot, which is not a lot to brag about, is it? Huh? And as I discovered, it was less than half what used to be paid to teenage girls in the First War in munitions factories. the arrogance, the insensitivity of governments towards their soldiers, serving and ex-soldiers, is appalling. Absolutely appalling. I mean, even now they haven't got a decent pair of boots between them, have they? I mean, in the Falklands, they discovered that boots weren't suitable for the job they'd got.
I mean, the officers got better food and things, didn't they?
Well, they did in they did in settled accommodation, yes, in barracks and so on. But as it was where we were, they ate the same as us, of course, and we all mucked in together.
Yeah.
Oh, there were no.
So there wasn't a lot of difference in the
field. No, 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 no. And you either liked the bloke or you didn't. I mean, the fact he was an officer didn't matter. Mm. I've sworn at officers many times. And
really?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And
did you ever get into trouble for that?
No. I mean, what trouble could you get in? I was in enough anyway. I mean, if they'd put me in a glass house in England, I'd have been far better off. Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. You, I mean, you pick your time. You're not too rude, but I won't repeat some of the language I used, but there was this bloke. Amiens again, yes. Before old Shute chopped his fingers off, we were in this field, as I say, there were the squadron tanks were parked in this field, and nothing would do for Shute, but he must go back to look for the stores vans. They were following up behind us, you see, and didn't know where we were. We couldn't get them on the radio, and nothing else would do, but he had to go and look for them. Now, my driver was missing. But he was chatting somebody up somewhere, I don't know. And so I had to drive him. And we went down the road, and, I don't know, 5 or 6 miles, not a long way, into this village, which had a very wide road, you know the sort, with a cobble track down the middle and verges leading up to the houses on each side. Came into this village, and down about 100 yards ahead, there was a couple of half-tracks, German half-tracks, with about 20, 25 Germans standing about round them, sort of looking at us, you see. And I didn't fancy going. There wasn't a lot of room to get past, apart from anything else. And so I dived up a little lane at the side. And old Shute said, "Would you take a microphone on a long lead and let me know what's round the corner?" I said, "I know what's round the bloody corner." I said, "If you want to look, you're welcome." I said, "But I'm going back." And so I turned the car around, which was very difficult because the lane was only about a yard wider than the car was long. Took me about 5 goes to do it. The turning circle was very poor anyway. And I shot out of this lane like a cork out of a bottle, back onto the main road. And we had a hail, and I mean a hail, of bullets following us up the road. All my bedding, all my rations, everything was shredded. Absolutely shredded. And we beat it back to the squadron tanks, you see. And then, to my great surprise and puzzlement, there was a bloke who'd followed us on a motorbike.
What, a German?
German. When he saw the tanks, instead of turning around and going back himself, he laid it down and legged it across the field. And Shute jumped in a turret, got somebody to load for him, and he was following him with the 75mm shells across the field. Don't think he hit him.
No, weird.
Yeah, it was weird, yes.
It must have been lots of sort of surreal moments, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have thought war was like that. Oh, sort of
there were lots of funny moments.
Yeah, and
as I say, at the time we were being fired at, I was laughing my head off because Shute hadn't got down through the hatch and I felt sure he'd get shot. And it was so funny because he was trying to get his head down and his backside was stuck up. He was a fool anyway. Shute, yeah.
Was he?
Yes,
he was an officer, was he?
Yes, a captain. Mm-hmm. Always pinching fags off the lads, you know. Mm. They didn't get any off me because I smoked a pipe. My pipe, I do believe, saved my sanity because I smoke from morning till night.
Yeah.
about half a pound a week I used to get. Yeah. And when it was only half a crown for 2 ounces, it,
that's
And there was other times, you see, with Harry Gregory, we were sent off to look at a canal bridge, to see what was there, if there was anybody there, whether it was still there. And as we got closer, we came under fire, and Harry turned into an orchard on the right hand side, which was pretty well leafed, and where they obviously couldn't see us. They knew we were there, but couldn't see us. And the mortar shells started dropping all round. I thought, well, there's not a lot of future. If one had landed on the car, that would have been it, because the roof wasn't strong enough to stop anything. Well, if we stay here, we shall get caught sooner or later. So he turned round. Almost gingerly, if you like, if you can do that in a car. Shot back on the road and away out of it, but couldn't do anything. Anyway, it was occupied, so
yeah.
The object of the exercise was achieved, I suppose.
So did you often get sent on ahead to see what the situation was?
Yeah. See, can you see anybody about? If so, what? And as soon as you come on the fire, you get the hell out of it, because... all I'd got was a Bren gun, you see. I couldn't do much with that.
So
I was also the only man in the British Army who went across Northern Europe under an umbrella.
Really?
I had a brown lady's umbrella, small one, you see, over my hatch. Kept the rain out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You had it sort of...
Well, yeah, I mean, it just propped itself there, you see.
Right, yeah. It would stay,
yeah.
Good idea.
Well, I thought so.
Yeah, well, there's no point getting wet if you don't have to.
No. Oh. And, of course, these hatch covers are never leak-proof. They're never rain-proof. They always drip.
Yeah. So inside the Humber armoured car...
Yeah.
Was it... I mean, how big was it? Were you used to cram it?
Well, it from front to back, it had a chisel shaped nose. And from front to back, it wasn't more than 6 feet, I don't think. No. There were two seats on the left and a driver on the right. Behind the driver, there's the radio. And yes, I wish I'd dug about. I got a photograph of the blooming thing somewhere. Somewhere. Yeah.
So in Holland, what did you see of the state of the country when you got there?
Well, it was priest-ridden. I hope, without offence, there were what seemed like hundreds of these well-set-up young men, all in cassocks,
really?
All dressed in black. And I thought, well, they've wangled out of it somehow or other. Why should I be fighting their battles? But, no, they'd had a hard time. It was food, mostly, they were short of. They really were on their uppers as far as food was concerned. They'd been starving, or very close to it, for a long time. Mm. Yeah. And people came up with stories about German cruelty, you know. There was a little girl there with a... what looked like a hole in her head from a German butt of a German rifle, so they said.
Were they friendly?
Pardon?
Were they friendly? They liked the British.
Well, this side of Holland was all right. The other side was less so, because we were close to the German border, and I think there was a lot of relationships between the two, you see. Families straddled the border at times, I suspect. Yeah. And the there was an occasion too when we thought, probably did, we were the first unit to put a shell onto German land territory.
Really? Where Where is that?
Well, it was somewhere near a place called Dern, I think. Mm-hmm. And we were in on a big farm. There was a rather large, grand-looking farmhouse with all the front covered in windows, little square windows. I recall there must have been hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. Very smart-looking place, very prosperous-looking place. And with us in the squadron, we'd got what's called a Firefly. And it's a Sherman tank with a 17-pounder gun, which was rather upmarket as far as we were concerned. It was better than the 75s that most of them had got. And somebody said, you know, if we ran that up a bank, maximum elevation, I reckon it'd reach about 11 miles. And so they did a bit on the back of an envelope, so to speak, and said, yeah, we could do that. You see, so we did this, ran this tank up a bank, maximum elevation. We told the civvies to you know, cover their ears and take cover. And we were going to fire this shell into Germany. And when the shell had been fired, we slunk away with our tails between our legs because every window in this farmhouse had disappeared. Everyone blown out, clean as a whistle. So we crept away.
They'll not forget you, will they?
Oh dear, yeah. They're probably still putting the windows back. Yeah.
Do you know where the shell went? I
mean, well, we could only guess at it, of course. Mm. But we thought it should have been in Germany anyway. Mm. Who was on the other end? I've no idea.
Yeah. So, were there a lot of German soldiers in Holland?
There were groups. There were little groups. Usually hiding in trees, being cut off, left behind, you see. Yeah. And there were no real battles at all, but there were just little, silly little firefights from time to time. And, of course, the worst one was a place called Aston, where I got my military medal.
Oh, yeah.
That was a nasty little do, that was. Yeah. We'd come up to this canal, and the bridge had been blown up. So we spent the night waiting for the engineers to put a Bailey bridge across. And all the time, sort of intermittent mortar fire from the other side, dropping anywhere and everywhere. And the next morning, just before 8, the squadron was lined up to cross. We'd got a little bridgehead by then. The infantry had got a foothold the other side. And we were going to break through. And I was the third vehicle to cross. The two tanks in front of me rattled over the bridge. And there was another bridge the other side too, over a little river. And the road ran on through a floodplain on an embankment. Mm-hmm. And before we'd gone 100 yards, the two tanks in front of me were on fire. There'd been somebody squatting down in the ditch with a Panzerfaust, you know, rocket thing, and set these two tanks on fire. And we had a mortar shell land on the front, and Harry couldn't hold the car, and it went in the ditch. And ended up about this angle, you see, right. Like that. Okay. And the ditch was full of Germans. Really? And Harry, I shouldn't say this, but I'm afraid he did. He panicked. And he couldn't bear being shut up in there with all this action going on, because there was hell's delight going on outside. There was firing and shots all over the place. It was a hell of a row. He couldn't bear this, and he got a pistol, and he thought, well, it's not far back, but I'm afraid he didn't hit the ground alive. He was dead before he hit the ground, and I stayed put. There was a Jerry climbed on the front of the car and had a look through his hatchway. Thought I was dead, as the driver was dead on the front, you see, and didn't bother anymore. There were several Germans round the car, and I tossed out a couple of hand grenades. You know, those little pineapple things. Yeah. I always had 4-second fuses on those. I terrified somebody picking one up and throwing it back, you know, if it was a 10 seconds. 10 seconds is a long time, you know. So I always made sure that I got 4-second fuses on. And chucked a couple of these out. In the back of my seat, there was a little porthole that could be opened. And looking through there, I could see I was behind some German machine gun pits along the river bank, you see. And so I reported these, and, you know, somebody might run into them. And didn't do a lot more, I suppose. And sat there for, oh, I don't know, a couple of hours while all this mess was going on, because I couldn't do much, you see.
You couldn't get out, you'd have been killed.
Yeah. And so I sat there, sat it out, until things sounded to have calmed down a bit, and had a cautious look, walked back along the ditch, waded over the little river that was there, and reported my presence at...
They're surprised to see you.
Hey? Well, I don't know. They might have been, yes. Because there were several lads killed in those two tanks that were hit.
Yeah.
And
you got a decoration now.
I did, yeah. In fact, I got a copy of the citation last year. I'd never seen it before.
Really?
Didn't know what was in it.
Yeah. How did you come to be recommended from
that? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything about it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Right. So this is the 29th Brigade, 11th Division, 8th Corps. Unit 2nd, 5 and 4 for Yeomanry, RAC. And your name, Easton Geoffrey Miller. We've got you down as Easton. It's Easton, isn't it?
Yes. I'm frequently misspelt. Some people put an H on the beginning.
Right, I'll read the citation for the benefit of the tape. On the morning of the 22nd of September, A Squadron was ordered to charge through a small bridgehead over the canal west of Aston, held by our infantry, through the village and block the exits on the far side. The leading troop was put out of action by mines and bazookas, and the scout car in which Trooper Easton was travelling with Squadron HQ was hit by a mortar shell soon after getting out of the bridgehead and blown into the ditch amongst the enemy infantry, who were resisting fiercely. The enemy attempted to destroy the crew with machine guns and grenades thrown at short range, and the driver was killed. Trooper Easton remained at his post and continued to man his wireless. Eventually, the enemy closed with the car, and Trooper Easton, seeing them approach, lay still and feigned death. The enemy were taken in by this, but as they withdrew from the car, Trooper Easton threw out hand grenades and destroyed all of them. He was later recovered with a scout car and returned to duty with the squadron. In this action, Trooper Easton showed great initiative and devotion to duty. And that's signed by... You'll have to tell me. Do you know who it's signed by?
Oh, at the bottom here?
Yeah.
B.L. Montgomery.
That is Montgomery, yeah. Bernard Montgomery,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Lieutenant General Commander, 2nd Army. Excellent. And that incident took place on the 22nd of September, 1944. Yeah. Excellent. Right. And where were you presented with the medal?
That was Ypres again.
At Ypres?
Yeah. After
is that under the... Gateway.
That was in this state theatre, the city theatre.
Right. And how old were you then?
21.
Yeah, you look very proud.
Yeah.
Right.
You got another group photograph.
Right.
It was rather funny, you know, because there was a big parade.
Yeah.
Held for this investiture.
Yes.
I don't know whether I've got a copy of it. Big parade. People from all over.
Yeah. So what date were you given the medal?
Oh, it was sometime in January 45.
January 45. Mm. Okay.
Mm. Yes, there we are. Great big parade.
Oh,
in Ypres.
Yeah. Oh, right. And these were these all people who'd won medals?
From the regiment. No, not all of them.
No.
This group was the people who'd been getting decorations.
Right. Okay.
But they were people from the regiment and from one or two other regiments too, I believe.
Right. Excellent.
And
thank you.
It was rather funny because
all these people on the parade were all sort of checked over, inspected by the colonel, the squadron leader, the sergeant major, and all that, all inspected minutely. Me, who was going to stand on the platform with him, nobody looked at me.
This was quite so Monty came particularly to do this parade,
yes,
to present these medals.
Yes.
Yeah. Was this well publicised? Was this a bit of a
Not really, because of security, I suppose.
Right, yeah. A bit of a morale booster, wasn't it? To be able to give the medals as quickly as possible, as it were. Yeah.
But, no, I don't think the civvies knew about it even. Mm. No. And
you must have been very proud.
Well, I was, yes, I suppose, yes. Mm. It was unexpected. I mean, it's not something you go out with the intention of doing, is it? Or getting. You can't do that. There were lots of other people who would have merited some sort of award. Had anyone known about it? Now I'll tell you that during that action, briefly, momentarily, I considered suicide because I thought I was a goner. Mm. There were so many people milling about around the vehicle. There was so much noise going off, and I'd got one of these hand grenades in my hand. 4 second fuse, pulled the pin out. There was smoke actually coming out of the base plate before I threw it. And I contemplated suicide, you see. I thought, well, I might as well finish it. Glad I didn't. But these things go through your mind, you know, it just went through like that.
That's right.
Unfortunately, common sense prevailed. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, were you treated once? When people must have heard that you were going to be recommended for a decoration, what did the people say?
Nothing. I don't think it. No, didn't excite any comment at all.
Uh-huh.
Not really.
Yeah. Did your commanding officer,
Oh yes, he had a few words. He deigned to speak to me. Yes.
Do you remember his name? Is he on this list?
Scott. Lieutenant Colonel Scott, yeah.
Right. Mm. Is he a nice chap, Paul?
Oh, yes, I think so. He did his best, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, I can see here, that's right.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, he did his best.
Yeah. So, right, this is Jeff Eason, end of Reel 4.